baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I am your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goes?
Happy 3000th show, George.
Thank you. Right out of the gate.
Goes
and I literally just talked about, hey, when are we going to
I thought you meant that.
And he goes, let's do a tour.
I thought you meant talking about it.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Well, happy 3000th show to you. Mm-hmm. And being that, you know, right now it's Sunday. This will be published to some of our audience. Well, actually, I think it goes up at midnight. So really, November 11th is when many of our audience is going to consume this show. So happy Veterans Day to all of those that have served our military. Without you, it's so true, we would not be able to chase our dreams and record 3,000 shows. You keep us safe. We don't take it for granted one bit. So thank you very much to all of our veterans, including our father, George Sr.
Yeah. A lot of people in our family serve.
Exactly. So, folks, today we will talk a little bit about our 3,000th show and maybe a quick winding trip down, you know, the journey of the 3,000 shows. And, of course, we will discuss UFC Fight Night. Magomed Sharipov versus Cater, also known as UFC Fight Night 163. It's also known as UFC ESPN on ESPN Plus 21. And of course, a lot of news nuggets. Stay tuned.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. So, Goes, this thing started off with, remember, Junior DeSantos and
horrible.
He was going to fight Alexander Volkov, and anyway, the card fell apart a little bit. The main event. And in the main event, we now had Magomed Sharipov and Calvin Kattar, who were supposed to fight last week in Boston. Or what was that, 2 weeks ago? Whatever. So, that was the main event for any of you that may have been thrown off. I know some are junkies and hit refresh every 15 minutes. Others maybe get to the news once a week. And it was an early affair, which we tried to give fair warning. Took place Saturday morning / early afternoon for the Pacific time. And the East Coasters got a little bit more of a late morning, afternoon delight. This fight, Goes, is one of those where I would have wanted to see 5 rounds to see how it played out. But I think we've also been pretty adamant about the fact that if you're not fighting for a title, those 5 rounds is just added wear and tear and mileage and, you know what I mean, on a career. For mostly those that have just done it a lot. Maybe I could have made a pass at this as I was watching this fight, Goes. And of course, you know me, I had a parlay that was simmering with Calvin Kattar, a part of it. I revealed that to our audience pre-fight. And he had a chance, Goes. He was turning it around, but it wasn't enough. Magomed Sharipov had banked a couple rounds. He wins the decision. He was barely crossing that finish line, but he did get the win.
This fight is one of those fights that gives us many reasons as to why we should see it again. Just not now. Mm-hmm. But again at some point, I think. Because really when you think about it, you're right. Okay. Should have been 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Right? So we have that. We saw that at the end, Zabit was kind of tiring out a little bit. Calvin was turning it on. And then you kind of, not that it's an excuse, because if it happened, it happened. But the staph infection, you know, we don't know how much that kind of weighed into Zabit's performance. So there's like a lot of these floating things that make you want to see it again. Just not now. But it was a great main event.
Yeah, they're two of the top featherweights. And mm-hmm. they're going to be around for a while. So it could be that they collide. Maybe they'll collide in a more important fight where one of them's a world champion. But for now, Zabit advances. Cater takes a step back. And you know how that is, folks. When you advance, you basically get someone higher ranked than you. Or someone who's winning just like you are. You know, they're basically chasing the same dream as you are. Or a veteran that's trickling down. But mostly it's somebody higher ranked than you. So good luck to Zabit as he continues. He's really, really a great fighter, man. I enjoy watching him. Calvin Kattar, I don't think will drop too much because he's established a great record. His fights don't suck. And that's a quality loss. So we'll see what's next for him. But I think both guys' profile did go to another level.
They needed it experience-wise. I think it did a lot for both of them experience-wise. I think they both learned a lot about themselves, about their opponents, what they need to work on a little bit. Because even Zabit in victory, I think, can look back at the performance and go, I could have done a few things better.
Yeah, I got tested. And he knows his hands. You know, if he goes up against somebody else that can throw hands like Calvin, could be in some trouble there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Alexander Volkov defeated Greg Hardy. And you know what goes? It kind of went along the ways of how I thought it would go if you gave me the whole gun to the head scenario. Remember, I bet Hardy because I wanted to take a chance on an underdog. And when Hardy explodes, he's dangerous. But he never really got anything too clean on Volkov. Like, nobody ever said, oh my God, he's on wobbly knee, or, you know, he's on wobbly legs, or he's got to clear the car. He never really got that shot. He exploded on him a few times, but Volkov was pretty much in control throughout the 15 minutes.
But I think Volkov had to fight that way because I think if he would have engaged a little bit more, he just would have left openings there for Greg Hardy. So I think he fought a very tactical fight. It was fun. I think some people were saying, you know, maybe he could have put a little bit more pressure on, put his foot on the gas, but that's sort of what got him in trouble with Derek Lewis. So I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. And I think in Greg Hardy's performance, we learned a lot about him as well. You know, that guy, not very many people do these little turnarounds no matter what.
Right.
And
he gained experience, for sure.
Let alone going across to the other side of the world to do it. I thought it was a big thing for him.
Yeah, I think Hardy can definitely go, okay, I need to work on and basically come up with a list, you know, and have something to strive for. Because so far, I wouldn't say everything's been easy for him, but he's just making these big gains, only he's been making gains on non-top 10 fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Now he got a good taste of what a top 10 fighter is. And how about Alexander Volkov? I remember watching this guy in Bellator, and he was, shall I say, tall, lean, and lanky. Now he's filled out, man. He's got big old thighs and hips, and
bit, yeah.
You know what I mean? His arms have a little bit more girth to them, so you could tell his strikes aren't just him putting it on you. I mean, he's actually really, really hitting you with a lot of force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely gotten better. He's a fun guy to watch, but I just don't know when you go up to that next tier of guy how well he'll do fighting that same way, because that's something like that. That wouldn't work against Daniel Cormier. You know, Daniel Cormier is not going to sit around and wait for just keep running into the same strikes over and over. I mean, I think a lot of the reason that Volkov was successful was because of the inexperience of Hardy.
Mm-hmm. So Volkov apparently says, I'd like to get, you know, run that with JDS like we had booked. And I think he mentioned Overeem's name. However,
I kind of like that.
Ngannou's calling his name out. You know what I mean? And Ngannou's faced a lot of fighters. And he hasn't faced Volkov, and now he can work off a timeline. Hey, you just won, and I'm looking for a fight. Take a few weeks off. Go to your version of Disneyland in Russia or whatever the hell, mm-hmm. and then let's book something for February, March. Yeah, I think that's what he's thinking.
It's kind of a revolving door. It's so funny because not that long ago we were saying there's not that many heavyweights. Now there's a lot of them. They're just in different tiers, and sometimes those tiers can cross over a little bit. Right now they have a little bit of a revolving door, but I think they can take advantage of it and have some fun fights.
Yeah, for sure. All right, here's the rest of the card, and then you can jump in on anything you would like to weigh in on, and of course I'll follow you. Danny Roberts defeated Zalim Imadeyev, and that was a KO punch. Upset, by the way. If you're an underdog player, you cashed a good ticket there. Ed Herman defeated Kadis Ibragimov. Anthony Rocco Martin defeated Razaman Emiev. Shamil Gamatozov, oh my God, defeated Klitson Abreu. Magomed Ankalaev defeated Dalcha Lungjingbula. Rustam Kabilov defeated Sergey Kandukoso. Carl Roberson defeated Roman Kapilov. People must think Joey Diaz is doing this part. David Zawada defeated Abubakar Nurmagomedov. Roosevelt Roberts defeated Alexander Yokolev. Pani Kanzad defeated Jessica Rose Clark. And Davy Grant defeated Grigory Popov.
You imagine Joe Martinez, what he's got to do?
I know.
A lot of respect goes that way. Huh?
So, by the way, Grant looked pretty good, right? Remember we kind of discussed him briefly?
Yeah.
He looked pretty good. Yeah, he had some nice spinning back kicks and stuff. And he was just – I thought he was exciting. He really entertained me. First fight of the night, I was loving it.
I like him as a person. I just don't know how far this career will go for him. I don't know. I just don't know how far he can go with a skill set like that. Like, I think he can challenge people, but I don't know that I'm ready to throw a belt on him or anything like that.
But I remember felt like I thought he had peaked, and maybe just because he doesn't fight frequently or hasn't been fighting frequently, I thought, well, yeah, let me know how he does. But he was the first fight of the night. I think I was eating a bowl of cereal, and I was digging it. And how about that Pani Kanzad? Good friend of the show, Jessica Rose Clark. I'm sure we were pretty much siding with her. Mm-hmm. But I got to give Kanzad some credit, man. She has nice hands.
She's real tough. And even then, like, if you look at some shots that Jessica was able to land, like, she threw an elbow that completely landed right on the jaw. I think would have put out a lot of people. And Pani just took it. So, I mean, she's a tough girl. How about Ed Herman? Can you believe Ed Herman is still going at this age and still being successful?
He said that may have been his last one, but I'm glad you brought him up because Ed Herman was pretty much putting all kinds of tools out there. I mean, he was wrestling. Mm-hmm. He was punching. Knees, he was elbows, kicking, knees, clinch work.
Everything
he had ever learned in the last two decades, he was putting it out there. But what really won it for him was his pressure on I'm going to call him by his first name. On Cadiz, that pressure in the third round was just too much, man. You know what I mean? And so he was able to get a unanimous decision. Except, you know, when rounds are kind of close, you still don't know, hey, is it 1-1 going into this round? And so that pressure, I thought, won him the third round and won him the fight. Now, on two judges' scorecards, he won 30-27. But shout out to Ed Herman, man. Hopefully he's still making good money. And, you know, at age 38, 39, or whatever he is, I know he's up there.
39.
He just got himself another win in the UFC. That's awesome.
He's fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really puts on good fights, and he's a good person. I don't mind if he sticks around.
Yeah. Roosevelt Roberts, congrats to him. David Zawada got himself a submission that also netted him $50,000. He was one of the four bonuses. Carl Roberson looked really, really good. Goes, I was impressed, man. That guy's a solid kickboxer, but he won by submission.
Yeah, weird, huh?
Yeah, and you know, he got a pretty bad eye poke, and he was able to gut that through. And even though the Russian, Roman Kapilov, was kind of starting to light him up, man, Robertson said, you want to throw? Let's throw. Even though I think he was hindered by that one eye, you know what I mean? And he went out there and threw, and then he mixed it up, showed off what being well-rounded is like, and got himself a submission that was awesome. Rustam Kabilov, he's been doing it for a long time, except now he had to do it as a welterweight. And you could tell in the early rounds, He probably felt those 15 pounds because them takedowns weren't coming. Later on, as the fight wore on, they did, and his wrestling won it for him.
I want to go back to the eye poke real quick.
Sure.
If you look at it, it was a cut right on the top of the eyelid, but it was enough that it drew blood, and the blood got in his eye. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to say there was about a minute left in the fight. Had they stopped the fight there, they would have went to the judges' scorecards.
Correct.
And I think he would have been fine, especially with the point deduction and all that.
Right.
But how about the balls on him to just go out and finish that fight?
Right. Yeah, because there was no discussion between, like, I'm gonna take a point off, and if it goes to the judges, you know, sometimes fighters are wondering that kind
of
stuff, and
almost
he wasn't
a little
interested
crazy
in it
of
at
him
all
to do it.
Yeah,
it really was.
Yeah,
but that one thing that people don't talk about is when you have an injury like that to your eye, there's got to be a level of anxiety of not being able to see what it is that's going on. You know, it's just the doctor or whoever telling you it's okay or it's not.
And Kapilov's got great kickboxing, too.
Mm-hmm. So think about you being in that situation where your heart is pumping, you're exhausted. That kind of stress can zap your energy, too. Like, it was really a ballsy move of him to keep going like that, but he did it.
I agree. Ankalaev and Lungjingbula, boy, man, those guys were wailing on each other. Light heavyweights. Ankalaev got the win, but man, that was really, really a fun fight as well. Mm-hmm. You know, this card had a lot of names that a lot of people weren't familiar with.
But it was good.
But it was fun. Good until even got before it even got to the main card. I had already had a great morning.
Yeah, some vicious KOs, good submissions. Like, it was fun all the way around.
So Ankalaev got the other 50,000. Those were the two performances of the night, and then the fight of the night was Magomed Sharipov versus Cater. But as we move through the card here, I thought Klitsin Abreu, he was an underdog who I had picked. I thought he won the split decision, but again, I don't know if I was slanted. I looked, and more of the
media
people on MMA decisions had him, like 8-5 ratio, I believe was what it was.
It's pretty close.
Also, how ironic that the two non-Russian judges scored it for the Russian, and the Russian judge scored it for Abreu. Yeah. So you can't even say home cooking, you know what I mean? I think I saw that on Twitter, but you gotta do a little bit of research, folks, if you're just going to be throwing that shit out there. So go ahead.
You got to give them credit, and then I think you got to give the crowd credit. I thought it was a really good crowd. I thought they were in it from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
They were fair. Even when their guy didn't win, they were still respectful,
yeah,
you know, to the American or whoever won. And no Putin, though. UFC's kind of slipping, huh?
Well, you know, and that's I wanted to bring something up, and I'm glad you brought it up. Not the Putin part, but Anthony Rocco Martin, he won a fight over Emiev. He was getting a little bit booed, but then they showed some class, I think, finally, when he talked about...
It's emotional.
It was very emotional, you know what I mean? He's going through a lot on the personal life with, you know, some family health. And once he brought that up, you could see them going from booing to listening to what the translator said to then clapping and being respectful. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, really impressed with the Russian crowd. They had some chants going on. It seemed like a good vibe. I think they had like 11,000 in attendance is what I read.
Translation was fun.
Yeah, it sure was. You discussed Ed Herman, Danny Hot Chocolate Roberts. Remember we said we've seen him all the way since Cage Wars. Huge KO for him, man.
Yeah, no, it was legit. The whole card, dude. The whole card was just fun.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of everything. And I didn't think I was going to be able to get up and watch the whole thing, but I only missed one fight, and I got through the whole thing. Like, it just, each fight was so much fun that I couldn't get myself to take a break and then come back. I just sat through the whole thing. And it was totally worth it.
Yeah, agreed. Our friends at Bellator had Bellator 233, Salter versus Van Steenis. John Salter did win that fight via unanimous decision. Other winners were Andrew Capel, Arlene Blankow, and Tyrell Fortune. Blankow took out Leslie Smith, and so that's a huge, huge win for him because it's, you know, a feather in her cap. And Capel, of course, took out Muhammad Lawal, King Mo, who had come back after retirement for one more fight, wanted to go out with a win. Instead, he took a KO, and this time he really laid the gloves down, retired again. But I think we're all pretty much of the belief that this is it for him.
I think, yeah. I mean, if there's one thing about King Mo, is he's a really smart dude, and I think you could just tell the look on his face, he just got it. You know, it clicked. He was just like, this isn't for me anymore. And he put those gloves down. It was kind of sad, but I had to watch it a few times because I couldn't figure out how he got knocked out.
Right. It looked like
glancing blow, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but it got him. And, yeah, it sucks that he has to go out like that. But the dude has done a lot, just himself personally, his accomplishments. But what he's done for other people, too, within the sport is pretty big.
One Championship 102, KSW 51, Cage Warriors 110 also went down. And as always, you can go to the results tab on MMA Junkie. Click that and check out the results. We got to move on, though, to some news nuggets. Goes, what did I tell you? That Nate Diaz, that fool ain't retiring.
Yeah.
He's already walking it back. In fact, I like the way he told ESPN, I ain't retired. Like, you're all tripping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They were his words.
I know. You know, like... The Diaz brothers, man, crack me up. And, of course, I'm not going to sit there and argue with him and say, but you said, I'm just glad he's kind of not retiring. In fact, he walked it back so much that he basically said, I'm never going to retire. Like, I'm going to do this for a long time. So that's also good news. And, of course, as long as he's healthy and competing, sure, fight as long as you want. Let's see how long he can do it.
It's just those Diaz brothers are such a roller coaster with the way they handle. And the thing is, like, if a Chael Sonnen did something like that, you kind of laugh it off and you go, "Ah, you got us, Chael." But Nate, there's a part of me that thinks he's just 100% genuine with all this. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I want to think he's brilliant and he's just trying to troll us. I think he's genuine with everything he says, and it's just, you're right. You want to grab him by his collar and just go, "You make no sense right now.
Right.
You just said your words. We didn't twist them. You said you were done."
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He's a trip. KSI and Paul Logan. Logan Paul, excuse me. Did you see him?
I didn't.
No?
I mean,
I saw highlights. I
saw that.
I had two buddies with back-to-back 50th birthdays this weekend, so I was basically kind of scanning here and there, but they went at it. What was it, like six rounds? And good on them. I think they packed 12,000 at the Staples. They did 21 in Manchester, but DAZN got in on the act. They made some money. Nobody was expecting high-level boxing, but they went out there. It was a split decision. KSI took it down. I just didn't know at what level did you care.
I just saw the highlights. Yeah. I really didn't care too much. What's funny is I believe they had two title fights on that card.
Yeah.
Below them,
right,
and Michael Buffer. And Michael Buffer was the one that announced them, and nothing towards the title fights. Like, how crazy of a world do we live in that happens?
Yeah, I saw Dave Dole has a good write-up on it if you want to check it out. Basically, under 30 crowd was, they were there, and they were having a good time. Kids made their parents take them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are on to something, and the promoters, they're promoters for a reason because they get a sniff of some green, and they want to get involved, and that's why this thing just kind of became a bigger thing.
I just hope it doesn't continue. I hope promoters don't go, "Hey, let's put the boxing business on the back burner. And let's find out. Let's see who Screech wants to fight next," or something. Like, I hope it's just kind of one of those one-off things, and that's it.
It could be. It could be. But that's kind of what went down. All right. So, what did you think of Francis Ngannou calling out Volkov? Or just that whole thing. What did you want to see out of the heavyweights, like, next for them? Do you have names attached to Volkov and Zabit?
I just want to, for Zabit, you got it. To me, I feel like I don't think you can put him up with the next level just yet. I mean, I think he can compete, but why do that? I think he still just needs a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. And I think the perfect guy is Yair Rodriguez. It's a fight that they've booked before, and we all wanted to see it. I think now is, like, kind of a good filler fight. Like, let's get it done now.
Yeah,
I think that would be fun. And then I just want to see Ngannou fight.
Right.
All so
I want
all
to see fight Volkov.
That'll be a good fight.
I still consider JDS just kind of still on the comeback. But for right now, Volkov looks pretty healthy. Let's see that.
That leg, I think at one point was close to, I think, I want to say King Mo went through something very similar to that. And it's one of those situations where I think he could have lost his leg had he not addressed it.
Oh, was that bad, huh?
Yeah, I think it was really, really bad. So you're right. I don't know that he could just turn things around like that. But all I see is Francis Ngannou all over the place, except for in the cage. And that's where I want to see him.
All right.
I mean, you see even videos with him and Tyson. Did you see that? That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because he said Tyson has already stated that he would like to train me. And I guess he was calling out Fury, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Fury kind of told.
Fury was doing a little MMA.
Fury's working out with Darren Till. Yeah, your thoughts on that? What your thoughts on all this? I mean, I guess it's fun for social media, but folks, leave it alone, right? Fury stick to boxing. Ngannou stick to MMA. I don't think we need to really see that.
I think MMA guys need to stick to MMA, but if any boxers want to come over, let's do it. I think that would be fun.
Fury's got his hands full with WWE. Yeah, yeah. Is he done with that little stint? Was that just a one time or what?
I think he's got a little bit more in him, right?
I don't know, but he better not take Wilder, lightly, because Wilder will put him on his ass and end him, you know, and Fury competed.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Crazy, man. Crazy how all that stuff was going down. Yeah, he's been training with Darren Till, and he's happy as a clam. And I don't even know if we discussed Cain Velasquez.
I don't think we did on this show.
We had a whole press conference with Cain and Brock, and he was, he was going to defend the honor of Mexico and Mysterio Jr. And that was a dud, wasn't it?
What was that? I still, to this day, I'm not an idiot. I get how professional wrestling works, but I still don't understand where the value was in putting all that together just for a match to kind of end the way it did.
Yeah, it was crazy. The NYSAC has fined Kelvin Gastelum, Rafael Cordero, and Corey Anderson, but I want to concentrate more on Gastelum and Cordero. You okay with that?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Me neither. Because they can't prove you, that it worked.
Exactly. Like, you can raise your eyebrow. Look, you just got got. And they, at the end of the day, they just got got. We don't know if it happened that, or not.
Like, I mean, it was pretty well executed. Like, to the naked eye, no one caught it until mm-hmm. the media caught it. And even then, like, we're still left with so much mystery behind this. You know what I mean?
Do you think things like Towelgate and stuff like that just added to this fuel?
Probably. The same state got punked twice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that could be what did it. But I saw that and I was like, guys, it happened.
You just
Your
have
commissioners
no proof.
Did the best job possible and they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and again, you can't prove it. You can't prove that it wouldn't have been 186 anyway. The fight went on. The opponent didn't give a shit. I don't understand why this is
I didn't like it.
Such a big deal. But, yeah, that's just the way that goes down. Anyway, you know, a little bit light on the news. I mean, I guess if you really want to push it, an episode of MMA Junkie Radio wouldn't be complete with some sort of a Conor McGregor alert. And you know that Abubakar Nurmagomedov, who lost, Conor had to inject himself in that because he's a relative. I believe he's a cousin of Khabib Nurmagomedov. And Khabib Nurmagomedov had said, I'll fight Conor if Conor peels off 10 wins in a row. And, of course, he's poking. So it's funny how those guys with just a simple opportunity to just poke each other can create a little bit of a stir and, you know, keep that little feud simmering.
But, see, Conor's got to do that right now. He needs Khabib. Khabib doesn't really need him too much. So it kind of makes me laugh when Khabib answers him.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's wrap up that news and let's come back and let's close up with a little bit of a journey through our 3,000 shows. All right, goes. So, like you started the show, happy 3,000 show. This episode is number 3,000. We've been doing the show since April 11th, 2007. We were on a pace of about 250 shows per year. So it would stand to reason that sometime this April we should have celebrated the 3,000th show. But as we went along and our bosses gave us a few more vacation days here and there, or we had to build a studio, and therefore we took some time off or other reasons, you know, along the way, even the transition from SiriusXM to, you know, going back to podcast form, we fell behind. Oh, and, you know, and not only just falling back to podcast form, but falling to two times a week, we kind of just fell behind. And so now after 12 and a half years, we've completed our 3,000 show. I still think that's an incredible pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back on it and just, it does seem like a blur, but if you ever just pick any show, 1,251, go back. There's so much that goes into every show, you know, just from booking it to putting it together and, you know, whoever's involved on the production side, making calls and the chat rooms and all that, man. I wouldn't take any of it back. Every show's unique in its own way, and no matter how far back you go, it puts a smile on my face when I do listen to any of them, because I, even though I have a bad memory and I couldn't tell you who was on that show right now, once it starts, I'll remember exactly how that show played out.
I do to a certain extent. That's one of the things that started to bother me a little bit
really?
More. Is now we're at the point where people will bring stuff up
mm-hmm.
and I kind of remember some of it and some of it I just don't. And I've been talking a little bit about it, that it's a 3,000 show this week, and I see the look on people's faces and I just forget how much that is. That actually is 3,000 shows.
Right.
And to us, it's just kind of normal. We come in, we do our job. It's a fun job. We have a lot of great memories, but every once in a while it hits you. You go, holy crap, man, it's 3,000 shows. It's a lot, but I am starting to forget a couple things here and there. And, there's been a lot of cool things that have happened on this show.
Yeah. This one's a little different because 1,000 was a big deal. You know, a lot of our listeners came out and spent it with us, and that basically created what was known as the Junkie Gathering. Every 250 shows, basically once a year, we would have what was called a Junkie Gathering. And that pretty much just was, you know, our lives when it came to those milestone shows all the way through, like, I believe 2,500 we spent it in Anaheim. We had lunch at a Peruvian restaurant, so that one maybe didn't have as much fanfare. But all the way through, like, 2250, we had, like, just big, big, big-time type of events because of that.
10-year anniversary. There was a lot of them.
Yeah, so...
We went through a stretch where I felt like we celebrated every other accomplishment.
That's
remember that?
Thing, yeah. What was the point where...
It was, like, 10-year anniversary. There were a couple
well,
of things
Well, at 10 years, we would have celebrated 2,500 shows. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was, like, 10 years, 2,500 shows. And even this year was, like, 10 years at Mandalay Bay, mm-hmm. 12 years of doing the show, and now the 3,000th episode. They were kind of spread out by a few months. But I always got the feeling, like, on social media, people be like, fuck, you guys celebrate everything, you yeah. know? But that's, you know, those are all just different big deals. I mean, we're proud of our tenure with Mandalay Bay. You know, 10 years here, it's like a home to us. And then a dozen years, it's not a round number, but still, it's a dozen. We are pretty proud of that. And now this 3,000th episode, man, it's a big deal to me.
You know when it really started to hit was when our good friend Buffalo Blue from North Carolina brought us that book. Mm-hmm. And I flipped through that and I couldn't believe just how different you and I look at times. And some of the fighters that are now like the established veterans when they had those baby faces like Khabib. When you look at him, he looks like a little kid, dude. Mm-hmm. The first time he was here.
How about Connor and just the little pair of shorts and a pink shirt that's like a button down.
Yeah, even Dana, when you look at Dana, like he just looks a lot younger too.
Yeah, no, there's some really, really good memories. I couldn't rank them. People ask me about, you know, favorite episodes and things like that, but they all are special in different ways, and I think it's just better to look back at them as one collective group of memories that were fun. But if you ever play me an episode, like if somebody sat next to me and said, hey, I got an hour to burn. Back in the day, these shows took an hour, and then mm-hmm. they became 90 minutes, then 2 hours. But if somebody told me, I got an hour to burn, hit play. And I listened to an episode, I could tell you a lot about how it was built, how it was booked, what was happening at that time or whatever. It comes back to me that way. And mm-hmm. with every show, there's always a few stories attached to it. You know what I mean?
Especially
all
in
that
studios.
Has kind of been like, the experience that I've enjoyed the most.
Yeah, in studios, there's what happens on air, and there's a lot of stories that happen before the show and after the show that kind of get ingrained in your head a little bit. It was fun.
Can you do this another 12 and a half years and reach 6,000?
Man. I think so.
Can you reach another 8 years it would take to get to 5,000?
I would like to do 5,000.
Yeah, I think 5,000 is a pretty big. But remember, girls, we're only doing this twice a week.
Yeah.
So I take it back. I mean, we'd have to go back to more of a daily thing. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it would take us 8 years. But because it's like, again, it's 250 shows a year. And
I think at 5,000, I would pull my own plug at that point. And go, all right, maybe we got to go at that point. I mean, even right. Seinfeld was great. But at the end, I think they were kind of like, hey, we want to do other things.
So listen. We are doing less radio, but, you know, we launched Spinning Backclick last week. Rankings report. I think you guys saw that. Thank you for the kind words, you know, thrown our way. And thanks to our editors, you know, and the big bosses who have allowed us to throw some ideas out there and, you know, launch them and see how they go. So we may be doing less radio, but we're doing more video. And we're still having a blast covering this great sport. I mean, like I said, guys. It was like 9 a.m., and I was tickled to death. Like, the college football games had yet to start, and I had already seen some great action mm-hmm. from Moscow, Russia. A card that I wasn't really, like, that excited about. I mean, New York was insane. You know what I mean? And a week ago. But this card was, you know, it still got me going, man.
I either tweeted it or told somebody, but I remember before the main card had even started, I thought, like, I'm already happy.
Yeah.
It was just a great card.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, folks, thanks so much for all of your support. Whether you've listened to one show or all 3,000, it means a lot, you know, for you all to take the time to give it a go, hit play and listen. And, you know, thanks. I mean, it's so true. If you guys aren't downloading it, trust me, they'll tap us on the shoulder and go, man, no one's feeling you. Either start doing more video or we're going to have to part ways. So it's because of you that we really do have jobs. And we started the show off earlier by giving a shout out to the veteran. It's so true. You know, the veteran, excuse me, is so true. You know, this is a great country and we're having lots of freedoms and opportunities. And I never would have thought I was doing this. So again, happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. And again, thank you all for your support. And Goz, you have anything you want to say in closing?
Yeah, thank you very much to all the listeners. It just we get a lot of feedback from you guys, whether it's social media or even just in the last 2 months. It feels like a lot of you have actually come through the studio to say hi, and whether you caught us here while we're recording our show or while we're just here hanging out, it's really cool to get to know a lot of you, and your support means the world. It's just incredible.
Definitely. All right, we are going to close things up then. We're out of here. We'll see you all on another occasion. It'll be show number 3001 the next time you hear us. In the meantime, go out there and be a champion.